This is the Todd Wright Toddcast. It is presented by Brandon Legal Group, longtime sponsors, supporters of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments for about 3 years now, and also a supporter of the Todd Wright Toddcast. Brandon Legal Group is a full-service law firm. If you are in need of legal assistance, you need not ask the question, what type of law does Brandon Legal Group specialize in? Call for a free consult, 844-4BLG4ME. 844-4BLG4ME, or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. They service the greater Tampa Bay area, so there's no requirement to live or work or have your legal issue within the city limits of Brandon, Florida. Pin Chasers, also a longtime supporter of Todd Wright Tour Golf Tournaments and the Todd Wright Toddcast. We are optimistic that Pin Chasers will be opening in the coming days or weeks, all three locations, 5555 West Hillsboro, 4847 North Armenia, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. Just before the governor ordered places like Pin Chasers closed, I experienced some of the social distancing adjustments that were made by Anthony Peroni at Pin Chasers as I took the Brandon Legal Group guys for bowling and lunch there. They had people bowling every other lane rather than at capacity. And that still means that, for example, at the Midtown location where they have 50 lanes, if they're at 50% capacity, that would be 25 lanes. If it's 25% capacity, it's still roughly 12 lanes. Just follow pinchasers.net or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook. All the guidelines will be followed. They were followed before the closing. They will be followed in the reopen. Pinchasers.net, Pin Chasers on Facebook. Thank you, Anthony Peroni, for 60-plus years with Pin Chasers in the greater Tampa Bay area. Just celebrated their 60th anniversary last year. My email is right.todd@yahoo.com. You can follow me also on social media, Instagram at toddwright2020. Or check me out on Facebook. Everything I post on Instagram also posts on Facebook. I'm simply Todd Wright in Tampa, Florida. For this edition of the Toddcast, I guess you could say it's about 15 years in the making. It was an observation that I made roughly 15 years ago, and I have kept making it in various situations, including the NFC Championship game two seasons ago, where the New Orleans Saints were victimized by a missed pass interference call, and it ultimately contributed to them losing the NFC Championship game to the Los Angeles Rams, and the Rams went on to the Super Bowl and not the Saints. I have discussed this with Gil Alexander a couple of times. Gil knew me long before I knew him. But Gil and I have talked regularly since the Vegas Stats and Information Network was born. That's the network best known for the great Brent Musburger. Gil Alexander is terrific. He is a weekday morning host on VSiN, which you can hear via VSiN.com online, or on Sirius XM Radio, various ways. I appear with Gil regularly during football season and also during the Stanley Cup playoffs and often during other events like golf major championships. We are approaching weekend number 9 without live sports. I guess technically that will come to an end. For those that like the UFC, I do not. If the UFC does pull off their event this weekend out of, what, Jacksonville, Florida. But somewhere along the way in these 9 weeks, Gil received a message from a buddy of his. I'll leave the buddy's name out. The buddy had action on a soccer game, football, if you will, played in Nicaragua. insert your own comment here about betting on that action because there was no traditional action going on in the United States or North America. There was a goal scored in roughly the 60th minute of the game. It apparently gave the team that scored it a 2-0 advantage. As it was explained to me, the goal was scored by a player that was, quote, clear as day offsides and should not have counted. There is no VAR in Nicaragua. The team walked off the field and basically gave the impression, we're done with this game. The team that was victimized by the goal that clearly should not have counted. The story goes on. First, the team argued with the refs for a good 10 minutes, essentially threatening the ref, remove the goal, take it off the scoreboard, or we're leaving. Instead, the ref gave out multiple red cards. The team, victimized by the goal / bad no call, walked off the field, never returned. The person who shared this story with Gil Alexander, who bet on the game, then said, it ended 2-0. I remember I had under 2.5 or 3 was how he bet it, and my money was refunded as a result of the game ending the way it did. When Gil heard about this, and others like longtime friend Chris Felica, you know him as the Bear from ESPN College Game Day, and various other projects, and a very popular podcast with the great Stanford Steve. These guys thought of me. They actually said, this is the Todd Wright theory. And it played out in a soccer game in Nicaragua. So word got back to me, and I was very flattered by it. And I thought, wow. Obviously, some other people agree with me here. Now, do I know for a fact that this game resumed and played out the remaining 30 minutes? I got no idea. But let me tell you why Gil Alexander of VSiN, Chris Felica of ESPN, and others said that this game was an example of my theory. As I talked to Gil after the NFC Championship game between the Saints and the Rams, let's refresh everybody's memory what happened. With roughly 2 minutes to go in the game and the game tied, the Saints had a third down and clearly a Saints player who was on the receiving end of a pass was interfered with. He was blown up. No flag. Fourth down. Sean Payton argued. Saints fans went out of their minds. Football fans wonder, are you kidding? Saints instead kick a field goal rather than getting an automatic first down, which would have allowed them to take more time off the clock before attempting a Will Lutz field goal or scoring a touchdown, lessening the amount of time the Rams would have to get back on the field and tie or win the game. In the end, Saints on the next play kick a field goal. Rams with more time than the Saints wanted, work their way into field goal position. Zuerlein ties the game. Then Rams win game in overtime, go to the Super Bowl. What happened after that? Rams lose Super Bowl. Many felt the wrong team was in the Super Bowl. NFL not only acknowledges the error, but for the first time ever the next season makes pass interference reviewable solely because of the no call with just over 2 minutes to go in the NFC Championship game. So what I said to Gil is something I've been saying privately. I might have mentioned it once or twice on one of my national shows before I retired from full-time national radio years ago. What Sean Payton should have done was, instead of sending Will Lutz out after the no call on fourth down, was pull his team off the field, send them into the locker room, and when the referee comes over to Sean Payton and questions, "What are you doing?" Sean Payton simply says, "It's up to you. You correct the mistake or we're done." And put it on that official to change the call. That's what Gil and Chris call the Todd Wright theory. And for sake of this Toddcast now going forward, in the spirit of Big Bang Theory episodes, I will call the Todd Wright objection. Now, some of you are saying, well, Sean Payton would never do that. Why not? Why wouldn't he? Looking back, would it have been a bad idea? See, the reason why, say, Sean Payton should have done that was because clearly he was in the right. Everyone knew it. High-profile game, elimination situation, and by putting his team on the field to continue after the call, even the Rams know is wrong, allowed the game to finish. And for the last 15-plus years, I've seen this happen in other sports, and often that league or that conference comes back, they send a letter of apology to the team that was wronged, they perhaps reprimand, suspend, or in unique cases, terminate officials responsible for the call, but they don't change the result. See, I think if there's still 2+ minutes on the clock and the game is still tied, even if that referee declares the game a forfeit, at that point, the league can step in. Roger Goodell was either at the game or certainly watching the game. And the league can step in and say, hold on here. We don't like this, but they might actually do something. Rather than the next day after the fact, make it worse by saying basically, we're sorry, but you still lost. Now, I think, independent of what happened in that soccer/football game in Nicaragua, and I love that even bets were refunded when the team walked off. So even from a betting standpoint, here was the book saying, you know what? We're out. We're going to refund money. No one wins or loses on this. Not only do I think it could work, but you have to do it in a high-profile game like a Super Bowl, like a conference championship. You could do it in college football, maybe in a college football playoff semifinal or final. You could maybe do it in a Game 7 of a high-profile Stanley Cup final series. Same with an NBA final or conference final series, World Series, especially if the home team is the one who was wronged. And you have all these fans who approve of the team walking out rather than playing it out. I'm not condoning that they riot. I want them to stay in their seats. But it's certainly going to build up the pressure on that officiating crew to make a phone call and get a little help before declaring the game a forfeit and leaving. And even if they declare the game a forfeit, we all know the game was actually, let's take the NFC Championship, it was tied. There's still 2+ minutes on the clock. You can play it from that moment. Correct the error, let's go. Whether it's an hour later, the next day, isn't the reason we have video replay the fallback on all of its flaws and how long it takes that, quote, we want them to get the call right? I think this would work one time. Had Sean Payton done it, I think it might have worked. So the next time some head coach or manager in a major sport gets screwed like that, with all eyes in his sport watching, with a home game, and with the commissioner or the governing body of the sport watching, I think the Todd Wright objection has a chance. And thanks to Gil Alexander and Chris Felica for feeling it's worthy enough to bring up in situations like this. You may not agree. You may actually agree. At this point, going on 9 weekends without sports, I'll take any sport with any bad call, even if there isn't the Todd Wright objection. But that's what we'll name it, and we'll wait for the next opportunity for a coach to do it. The Todd Wright Toddcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Call for a free consult at 844-4BLG-4ME or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. And also by Pin Chasers. Hoping and expecting Pin Chasers to open all 3 locations in the coming days and weeks. West Hillsborough Avenue, just north of Tampa International Airport. Midtown Tampa on North Armenia, 6816 Gale Boulevard in Zephyr Hills. Go to pinchasers.net or follow Pin Chasers on Facebook for more details. My social media is Instagram at ToddWright2020 or friend me on Facebook. I'm Todd Wright, living in Tampa, Florida. Thanks for listening to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Please subscribe. We'll talk to you again.